Hello, and Happy New Year!
This is Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
This is Nick and Roy's New Year's Useless Information Spectacle.
Spectacle? I have my spectacles on.
That's right.
So I can read. This is a New Year's celebration.
It is, and I'm going to tell you what country eats grapes on New Year's to bring them luck.
Ah, and I will tell you, when was the first auto race in history?
Oh.
And how fast did they go?
We'll even open up the mailbag on this New Year's. And in the news, there's no discount on justice for these thieves.
Totally useless information. It's everything you never needed to know.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Roy.
Happy New Year. Well, Happy New Year's Eve, right?
Well, yeah, whatever. Happy New Year. And that's always been a debate. Like, how long into January do you say Happy New Year, right? So this is like New Year's Eve, and do we say Happy New Year's yet, or do you wait? It's like, if this were your birthday, would we say to you Happy Birthday the day before?
It's a conundrum, Nick.
It is. Isn't
they
that...
come in little packages. You put them in your wallet.
No,
they're conundrums.
No, that's what your dad, and you revealed this, that's what your dad used to call condoms.
Conundrum.
But then again, you know, he wasn't altogether wrong. He was not altogether wrong, because it depends what kind of situation you're in. It could very well have been a conundrum. So what we're going to do today is we're going to, of course, give you totally useless information, because that's why you come to us week after week. This is what you've come to enjoy for many, many, many episodes. We thank you for that. But we're going to talk about some of our history as friends. And now, wait a minute, Roy. Now, usually you and I know, we spent so much time together that we know pretty much what happened in our lives. But you're going to tell us
no.
a story.
I have one.
That I've never
that
heard
happened-
before.
Before I met you in high school.
Okay.
Actually, like 2 years before I would meet you in high school.
Okay.
This was a New Year's Eve party that I threw when I was 14 years old. My mom said, okay, you're 14. You can throw a New Year's Eve party, but I'm going out, and so is your grandmother. So you better do the right thing here. And I was like, sure, no problem. Mm-hmm. Well, next thing I know, the party of like 6 or 8 people turned into like 16 or 20 people.
Oh.
It got a little out of hand, music blasting, who was smuggling in the liquor like crazy. Before you know it, everybody was completely drunk. We're talking about 14 and 15 year olds.
Yes.
Stone cold hammered. But it got bad, because, you know, you think you're having fun and everything's good until your friends start throwing up all over your house.
Oh, no.
Thank God my grandmother was like the – you remember Nan.
Yeah.
Nan was the coolest person in the world if she liked you. If she didn't, you were done. But,
yes.
Of course, she liked me. And so she helped me clean up that whole house in that German style where it was hermetically sealed after, you know,
yes.
everybody left.
Yeah.
But she helped me clean up that house. When my mom got home at like 4 in the morning or something, the house was perfectly spick and span clean. And my mother said, did you have a lot of people? How many people did you have for the party? I said, 6 or 7 people.
Initially.
What a mess.
Initially. Now, remember, this is, okay, you were 14, 15, so this was easily better than 25, maybe 35 years ago. More than that. So way before social media, because you hear a lot of these stories today where, you know, just a party of a few people, like a small gathering that's gets put up on Facebook or other social media. And before you know it, there are 300-400 people.
But Nick, we didn't need that. If you remember the time we threw the party after like something happened in Columbus. And then I invited a couple people down to the house, and it turned out that like close to 75, 80 people figured out that there was a party, and we ended up in a parking lot on Boston Road with the trunk loads of liquor with ice bags broken and just liquor bottles inside the ice like it was a bar.
Wow. You talk about your modern day conundrum. There's that word again.
Yeah.
it's like the magic word of the week, right? It's like if you hear that word conundrum, let's see how many times we can include this in the next hour, how many times we can use the word conundrum. We hope that you're celebrating New Year's Eve in a safe way.
Okay, let me ask important, this. Folks. Yeah. Don't drink and drive.
No.
In this day and age with Uber and everything, please don't drink and drive. It's really a dumb move. It's a big mistake, and it's a real nasty way to start the year off with a $10,000 fine by the time you're all done with your court date and everything. So think it over. Make your New Year's Eve wish to not drink and drive.
So let me translate for those who have already had a couple. Do not drink and drive. Now, here's a cool part. If you're in the Toronto area and parts of Ontario, the GO train service and the TTC will be running for free, right? So check out their website so that in case you do have a few drinks, at least you'll have free public transportation.
And in New York City, you can take the train. You'll have to pay for it and probably be robbed and assaulted while you're on the train.
Yeah.
So, you know, Uber's a better choice.
It is. And yet another conundrum. Ding, ding, ding.
Another conundrum. Hey, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners in 72 countries around the world.
Yes.
You heard that right. Around the world.
Yeah.
Nick and I are so, I don't want to say the word shocked because we really do work hard to put the show together.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell, well, Nick works harder than I do, honestly. But honestly, I mean, we want to thank everybody listening to this show. And especially with a new year coming, thank you so much. We hope that you enjoy it. And there's 300 episodes, so if you haven't binged listen, go ahead and get started.
What do you mean 300? 200, 300.
Oh, two. I'm sorry. Yeah, 200. How many?
You know, how many drinks have you had? So I'm going to give you my teaser because I, you know, so we have different traditions and we'll talk more about our childhood and how we spent a lot of New Year's Eves together because Roy and I, as Roy mentioned, we met in high school. So Roy's, you know, 14, he was 14 when he had that first New Year's party. But in Spain, they eat grapes and they eat 12 of them. And they
12 grapes
at midnight. So as the clock chimes 12, it makes sense, right? The Spaniards eat 12 grapes, each symbolizing luck for the upcoming months. And then, of course, you know, failing to consume all the grapes within the 12 chimes is believed to bring misfortune. So you have to eat the 12 grapes within the 12 chimes that the clock strikes 12.
Yeah, one year I left the grapes out and forgot to do it. So the next year I had 12 raisins.
That's right. Which he promptly put it in a bottle, in a glass of champagne, and it floated.
Yeah, well, I put it in the Jack Daniels. You know, that's nothing right. hurts Jack Daniels.
No, it doesn't. Oh, my God.
And our sponsor, Jack Daniels? No.
So it was a guy named Jack. So, no, I've never really been to a, believe it or not, in all of my adult years, I've only been to 3 New Year's Eve parties. And it's not because I'm like a party pooper or anything like that. But it's because most of my adult years, I was working on New Year's Eve. Because most of the time I was working at the Astor restaurant. And if you've listened to the show long enough or you've read our newsletter, you know that Roy and I grew up together at the Astor restaurant. We met in high school, but we grew up. I mean, I don't know. Did we actually grow up? We didn't.
We became men, so to speak.
That's right. With a couple of shots of chartreuse and a gallon of paint. That's another story.
A couple of shots of chartreuse. I grew hair on my chest, and Nick lost all of his.
That's right. And it got misplaced to my chest. Go figure. It's like real estate. Location, location, location. So, yeah. So many,
makes for fun haircuts, though, doesn't it?
It does. So imagine this. So now if you've gone out on New Year's Eve, gone out to dinner, right? You go to a restaurant. So, well, guess who was serving you? Roy was in the kitchen and I was out on the floor as a waiter and waiting on tables and stuff. And so for many of my, like I said, my adult years, I was working on New Year's Eve. The two seatings, the first one wasn't all that pleasant. And I think enough time has gone by where we're not insulting anybody. But the people who came out at 6 o'clock to eat for New Year's Eve dinner had never gone out before, or they only go out once a year. And they are the most pathetic. They are the most rude.
Picky.
And
picky.
Picky. Picky. We have a set menu. Yeah, but I want chicken. No, we don't have, we only have chicken this way. Yeah, but I come in all the time, which they don't. Come in all the time, and I like the chicken piccata. No, we don't have chicken piccata tonight. So they will always be really picky. There's no substitutions. There's only one menu. And yet they're always, always picky and really rude. So I hated those tables, and the quicker I got them out of there, the better it is. It didn't matter if I had not a good tip or anything. I just wanted to get them out of my hair that didn't exist.
But, you know, it's so funny, too, because being that my family was in the restaurant business, holidays were work days. They were not, you know, like Mother's Day was the biggest day. And then came Thanksgiving the second, and New Year's Eve was the third.
Right.
And Easter was like, New Year's Eve and Easter were running close seconds with close thirds with each other. But those four holidays, those made up the whole thing. But we were even open sometimes on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very rare that we shut down even on Christmas Day. My dad was one of those, you stay open, you celebrate the holiday right there, you know. And Nick, we had some really great New Year's Eve parties.
From what I remember, yes. Absolutely. You know, there are those that we remember. But those that are, you know, that this is basically, what do we call it? Eyewitness accounts of what happened on those New Year's Eves.
Yeah. One eyewitness.
One eyewitness. That's right. The only one that wasn't drinking, probably. I think at the time I remember drinking Rusty Nails. And a Rusty Nail is Drambuie and Scotch. Now, Drambuie... You know, hey, welcome to the AA podcast. Drambuie was like a kind of like a sweet liqueur, is it not?
Yeah, it was kind of vermouthish, but a stronger vermouth, you know, because it's not like a liqueur, it's really a liquor. Yeah. And so mixing Scotch and Drambuie together is like an adult Manhattan.
Yeah, as opposed to a child Manhattan. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and so...
Well,
and
most of the people there act like children. So.
That's true. That's true. You're listening to Nick and Roy's New Year's Useless Information Spectacle, and we thank you very much for spending some of your holiday with us. And over the next hour, we're going to continue to share some of our memories. Plus, we'll actually do some useless information about, well, cars, animals, and even some science as well. You're listening to Nick and Roy's New Year's Useless Information Spectacle. Welcome back, and yes, we're taking a look at celebrating New Year's, this very wonderful holiday that we call New Year's. So, Roy, what is...
Can I say something? Can I interrupt you for one second?
Sure, Nick? Can, yeah.
You know, it's New Year's, Christmas is now over, and it was wonderful. But I just want to say again to the folks out there, our website, nickandroy.com, has gotten so insanely busy, and the birthday messages, you got to go to nickandroy.com and just click on the birthday messages to see what it is, because it's the coolest gift ever. It'll be your go-to gift for birthdays and special events and things like that. And it's inexpensive, and it's great, and we have such fantastic feedback. But again, it's because of you guys. It's because of you listening right now that we have this opportunity to even talk to you. So thank you again.
Now, I'm going to mention, I guess, what would be considered the competition, Cameo, right? This is where...
Oh?
Cameo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the service where the celebrities, you know, they put a name in front of them. Like, you know, like Robert De Niro, or one of the popular ones is Brian Cox from Succession. And he's the guy that they're always on that show said, F off, in his right. accent. And so everyone wants Brian Cox. They order Brian Cox just for, you know, to say, hey, Roy, it's your birthday. F off. Right. And I use the F word. Okay. Now, I'm going to mention the competition, because here's the thing. They have zero personality. It's odd, right? Because these are celebrities with zero personality. All it is for them is, here, read this name, say happy birthday and whatever, and act like you're interested. No. What we do in our birthday messages is this. We provide totally useless information about the day that they were born. And so it is a personalized message that we spend a great deal of time researching the information based on what your loved one had information.
It's not some generic thing. This is legit. It's like a mini show for the person on their birthday or special occasion. And I'm telling you right now, you can listen to one on nickandroy.com. You click on birthday message. Listen to it, because you're gonna be like, wow, what a cool gift. It really is a cool gift. And to tell you the truth, we enjoy doing them. We have fun.
We do. So nickandroy.com/birthday. So what is one of your fondest memories at the Astor working on New Year's Eve?
I remember a New Year's Eve party where it just got completely out of hand. Some dance troupe came in. I don't know if you remember that, but they came in and they started dancing on the dance floor, and it looked like professional. They were professional dancers.
Uh-huh.
So they came in, the DJ's playing music, and all of a sudden it looked like a movie because there were all these professional dancers doing this whole choreographed thing on the dance floor. And either that or I was just so drunk that they looked like they were choreographed.
No,
you
know what it was? There were only three people that showed up, and so you look like a dance troupe.
Ah, probably.
But here's another thing that where in the 80s where we worked and grew up at the Astor restaurant, we were well ahead of our time, because what you're describing is what would be considered today as a flash mob.
Yeah.
So they would, you know, they would come in and then all of a sudden they start dancing out of nowhere. So
where we were, the flash mob required you to open up a trench coat.
That's right. Yes, but you did promise to stop doing that, and then everything was okay after that. The flash mob. My gosh. How about this? In talking about traditions in Denmark, and this sounds familiar, but it's not like the Greeks. Like in Denmark, they smash plates. So rather than using the sound of fireworks at New Year's, one can hear the sound of people breaking plates at their neighbor's or friend's doors to celebrate the New Year.
Some Italians do this too, Nick.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
that.
Not a tunic.
No, not a tunic. Yeah.
But anyway, yes, I went to a party one time, and the person at 12 midnight grabbed some dishes and start throwing them out the door. Of course, his girlfriend was flipping out because they were actually a set of dishes that they had.
Wow.
And he was smashing them in the street, and he's screaming, "You got to do it. It's for luck." You know, so of course, at that point, everybody just grabbed every dish and just smashed them, because what was the sense of having a half a set?
Of course. And because of all that, he's now sleeping at the neighbor's house because she kicked him out of the house.
Well, she smashed one over his head.
That's right. She did. So could you imagine? So they're saying that they go to the neighbors or friends' doors to celebrate the New Year and just start whipping plates at these doors. Now, what if they didn't understand that tradition and thinking, what the heck's going on? Our neighbors have lost their minds. They are throwing these dishes at our door. And of course, this, after everything was done, the big pile of broken dishes, it is believed to represent more luck for the coming months. Or you're really sweeping a lot more than you thought you would be on New Year's.
Wow. And in the background, they play the music My Prayer by the Platters.
The Platters. That's right.
Dishes and platters.
That's right. That's one fine dish. You're listening to Nick and Roy's New Year's Useless Information Spectacle.
Einstein was a moron. Newton was a jerk. Science.
That jingle, by the way, is the one of the most popular jingles that our listeners have told us, the science jingle. And that was basically Roy, the very beginning of our venture here of a totally useless information with Nick and Roy. He just basically took his keyboard.
My little keyboard out.
And
I didn't even have it written down. I was like, da, 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 da. Einstein was a moron. Newton was a jerk. Equals nothing. It's science.
It's catchy. It's an earworm, right? So thank you, Roy, for that. So so what do you have in terms of science, Roy?
Giraffes. Now, I know we have animals, but this is science.
Okay.
Giraffes are 30 times more likely to get hit by lightning than humans.
Really?
Now, probably because stupid giraffes look at a storm and say, "Let's hide under these trees." And I thought maybe it's possibly because of the larger neck, but it is not. Maybe slightly they have an edge because they are a large animal, but they are 30 times more likely to get hit by lightning than a human being. So if there's a storm, a lightning storm, hide under a tree. Stay away from the giraffe.
That's right. Boy, there's a stretch. So speaking of obvious things, I'm going to give you in the next several facts, some silly science studies. Okay? So here's one study. Quitting smoking after a heart attack reduces chest pain and improves quality of life. Now, this is an actual study that was done. Quitting smoking after a heart attack reduces chest pain, improves quality of life. Okay? So, you know, if you're so used to the intensive care units and you're, you know, used to handing out packs of, you know, years ago, I guess they used to hand out packs of Luckies, you know, every time you went to the intensive care unit. Don't blame the hospitals, though, because those buzzkill folks at the American Heart Association who are responsible for this no fun finding have said quitting smoking after a heart attack reduces chest pain and improves the quality of life. And that was an actual
Isn't that a good one?
It is, right?
What they have to do to get that result? I mean, how many scientists did they need to sit down and figure that one out?
Yeah, how many packs of cigarettes?
And jumping off bridges can kill you. 6 million years ago, Nick.
Yes.
A day lasted 21 hours because the Earth spins 1.8 seconds faster per century. We now have 24 hours in the day. Now, we know this to be absolutely true because Nick was there 6 million years ago. And boy, was he early to every function.
That's right. Is that why they call me?
But think about that, Nick. Yeah. 6 million years ago, 21 hours in a day. It's 1.8 seconds per century.
Wow.
The Earth spins faster.
See, I was there. That's why they call me the $6 million man.
$600 million.
$600 million.
And think about it now. $6 million man wouldn't buy you a leg anymore.
No, they won't. Wow.
He's the $6 million man. He has a penile extension.
That's right. And of course, you know how they scan it. They use the penal code. All right, you're listening. You're listening to Nick and Roy's New Year's Useless Information Spectacle. Welcome back to the Nick and Roy's Totally Useless Information New Year's Spectacle. And we thank you for spending some of your New Year's with us. And maybe you can share some of this information at a New Year's Eve party. Heck, you know, wait till after people have had like several drinks and then give them the facts that we're giving you tonight. And this way you're going to sound a lot smarter than anybody else in the room. Usually happens that way. Here's another one of my silly science studies as we're doing science on totally useless information with Nick and Roy. Study shows that there's a beneficial effect of electric fans in extreme heat and humidity.
Mm.
Okay? If you don't have air conditioning. Now, Roy, you live in Florida. Do you have air conditioning?
Everybody has air conditioning.
Okay.
The squirrels have air conditioning in their trees.
That's right. They need to keep their nuts cool. If you don't have air conditioning, it seems that...
They're the only squirrels in the world that have buzz cuts.
Wow.
They're the only squirrels in the world that shave themselves completely.
That's
or as
right.
Nick calls it, every day.
It's not manscaping, it's squirrelscaping. If you don't have air conditioning, it seems that fans, which moves air with the help of a cunning arrangement of rotating blades, I said cunning, can actually make you feel cooler. At least that was the news from a study from the Journal of American Medical Association.
Yeah.
All right. And still to come, why snowblower use declines in July.
Yeah, it's really weird with those squirrels, you know, when it gets hairy when they shave their nuts. You know, those nuts, they're hard because like walnuts, they got, it's tough. You know?
It is. Yeah. Especially the Brazilian squirrels. They're nice and
smooth. Oh, yeah. It's the old Brazilian chopper.
That's right.
The old Brazilian waxer.
That's right. You know, I emceed an event for a coffee chain up here in Toronto. And by the way, if you're in the Toronto area, you need someone to MC the event, go to nickandroy.com. So I emceed this event, and one of the sponsors was Brazilian Coffee Company. And I said, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Brazilian Coffee Company. Their coffee is really smooth.
Ah, that was a good one.
It was. And I think four people got that joke. And then the rest were like, what? Yeah, it's good coffee.
Yeah.
It's good coffee. Yes. Yeah. Smooth.
It's like a Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off.
Yes.
Okay. So identical twins are really, really cool.
Yeah.
Now, there are some identical twins that are almost impossible to tell apart. They are so perfectly identical.
Okay.
But there is one way to tell identical twins apart.
How's that?
They have completely different fingerprints.
Of course.
Okay, which just goes to prove that God loves a good CSI sitcom. No, think about that. How cool is that? They could be so identical, it's almost impossible to tell them apart, but they have completely different fingerprints.
Well, you know who has human-like fingerprints are koalas, which we learned, I think, in season 3 of Total Useless Information. So yeah, koalas have human-like fingerprints. Of course, they're in the branches of trees. They're considered branch managers. Here's silly science number 3. When you play Japanese backwards and Dutch backwards to a rat, it can't tell the difference.
Say that again.
When you play Japanese backwards and I'm saying this forward, so you can't understand this in English. When you play Japanese backwards and Dutch backwards to a rat, it cannot tell the difference between the two.
How do we know that?
Well, I'll tell you. The scientists behind the effects of backward speech and speaker variability in language discrimination by rats, they're the people who funded this study. They were trying to figure out how human babies learn how to talk using the rhythm of their mother tongue. 3 researchers taught Japanese and Dutch to rats because of the very different rhythms of each of the languages. And then they
measured. These are very, very sick people.
Yes. And then they went on to measure how they responded to it, both playing forwards and backwards. And again, no response from the rats.
And I got to ask a question. How stupid are their wives to believe that? Honey, what do you do? I teach rats how to speak Japanese.
What about backwards?
Oh, great. Go ahead. Come home late. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really something.
Yeah.
Well, I got a good one for you.
Okay.
The largest piece of fossilized dinosaur poop.
Yeah.
Because I have to put a poop joke in here.
Of course. Why not? It wouldn't be totally useless information. It wouldn't be totally useless information with Nick and Roy without it.
Oh, no, no. Listen to this. This one's great. The largest piece was 30 centimeters and over 2 liters in volume. This is a fossilized dinosaur poop. Now, I'm not impressed. This morning, I think I beat that out.
Wow.
One cup of coffee, Nick. I'm off to the races, you know?
Yeah, the horse racing. Yes, exactly.
Listen, one time I went into the Museum of Natural History.
Yes.
And I walked over to the guy and I said, do you have any dinosaurs on display? And he said, sure, right this way. And he shows me a dinosaur. And I said, wow, it's a big dinosaur. He says, yeah, it's 6,028 years old. And I said, wow, that's pretty like right on the money, huh? 6,028?
Yeah.
How did you figure that one out? Mm-hmm. He says, well, when I first started here, they told me it was 6 million, and that was 28 years ago. So 6,028.
Wow. You sure you weren't talking to one of the squirrels?
What are you, nuts?
Yes. Okay, here's silly science study number 4. Scientists from Taiwan and the United States of America have finally managed to put to rest the age-old question. Does body size affect how long you pee for? The scientists...
Now I'm interested.
That's right. Now, you were just talking about your...
Nick's a whiz at this.
Hey, don't piss me off. The scientists discovered that nearly all mammals above 3 kilograms in weight, or roughly like 6 pounds, they empty their bladders in around 21 seconds, sort of. They actually discovered that mammals above 3 kilograms in weight empty their bladders or 13 seconds. It depends. So you should actually be, this is what they're saying. All mammals in weight of over 3 kilograms empty their bladders anywhere between 8 and 34 seconds. So here's the moral of the story. I know there's a lot of confusing numbers in there. They can't figure it out. It doesn't matter. It depends on how much you drank, but they had to be specific and say it takes a person more than 6 pounds, 21 seconds to pee. That's ridiculous.
I read that study.
Did you?
By Professor I.P. Daly. He's the pisser at parties, I'll tell you.
He sure is.
He wrote another book called Yellow River. Have you ever read it?
No. You know what? He said, hey, are you in?
I'm in. You're in.
You're in. You're listening to Nick and Roy's New Year's Useless Information Spectacle.
This is Totally Useless Vehicle Information with Nick, Meet-Me, and Roy. Vroom, vroom.
Now, you know, I have to ask her, where did she get meat meat for me and vroom vroom for you? Like, I don't understand. Like, what was she thinking?
That's why you're meat meat and I'm vroom vroom.
In 1949, the Buick car company stopped putting functional side vents on the hood. Remember the side vents on the hood, the Buicks?
Sure.
Because they received a complaint from a high school principal who said...
What?
He received a complaint. They received a complaint from a high school principal, and they told him to stop putting the functional side vents in the hoods because his students were urinating in them, and so they asked him to stop with the functional vents.
This is not a very good school, and they're not very smart students. I can tell the difference. I could be impaired and tell the difference between a hood vent and a urinal.
If you ask me, I think it was hoodwinked.
Yeah, I think Buick screwed up there. I kind of like that idea, you know?
Yeah.
And if you drank enough, you could pee in the gas tank as well and probably use it as fuel, you know, the way we used to drink.
That's right. Exactly.
How many oil changes, Nick, do you think happens in a year? How many of all the cars in the world, how many oil changes in 1 year?
Well, I think the average car owner needs to change their oil about 3 times a year, I think, roughly.
Well,
right?
The actual, I have that information, funny you should ask, between 3,000 and 5,000 is the actual estimate. But because of the newer synthetic, fully synthetic oil, sometimes you can go between 5 and 8. They say up to 10,000, but I would never do that. No. But I do change mine at 5,000 no matter what, fully synthetic or not.
Yeah.
900 million oil changes.
Whoa.
Now you know why there's a Jiffy Lube on every corner.
That's right. Although one time you did get really confused that you thought it was a different kind of, different kind of store.
Yeah, I went in there. I was like, I'm here to buy some lube.
That's right. And they escorted you out in a jiffy.
Yeah, and I tell you, that grease gun is a bit uncomfortable.
It is. Oh, listen to me. I sound like I've no, like I've been, no, I have no experience.
Nick
Zero.
Clapped. I'm like, yeah, I remember that.
That's right. Funny you should say that.
I get my oil changed every 10 miles now.
Yes, it is me, Jiffy. Meet me. Now, you've often wondered, and I have, because I look for luxury cars, and then when they stop at a light, I just stare at their dashboard. I'm weird that way. I have a fetish. But if you notice, they have a compass on these luxurious vehicles in these modern cars. Now, most of the companies, you know, of course, they have the latest GPS and navigation and all kinds of stuff. Even your phone has it, you know, Waze or Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever it is, right? So why do you need a compass? Because
well, Nick, your Grand Marquis, your 1978 Grand Marquis that you drive.
Yes. Yes.
Nick keeps driving north, so he doesn't have to worry about a compass. He just keeps driving north.
Well, that's how I wound up in Toronto. I just kept going. I made a left off the Bronx River Parkway.
Why do they have compasses, Nick?
Well, they're not sure. Like, there's no explanation for this, but it kind of makes you wonder because with maps, you update them, right? Or you can get directions from maps. With a compass, you just know which direction you're going in, but you don't know if you're going in the right direction or not. So
that is true, because sometimes you might be heading south on a highway, but it goes southwest. Right. It could be very confusing. What's even more confusing to me is why Nick pulls up to a beautiful woman in a luxury car and says, could you move over a little bit so I could see if you have a compass or not?
That's right. Yeah. And then she pointed me due north.
Yeah, she stuck her shoe up somewhere up south.
That's right. Where the sun don't shine.
Good thing you went to the lube place earlier that day.
It all comes together. Oh my.
Well, if you're lucky, it does. Let that one sink in for a while, folks.
You're listening maybe to the Nick and Roy New Year's.
To the last show of Totally Useless.
The very last show of the year and ever on Totally Useless Information. What else you got in terms of cars?
Okay, this is my teaser. The first auto race in history.
Yes.
Was in 1895. Now, most people think cars came around in the 1920s. That's when mass production of cars came around.
Right.
But in 1895 was the first recorded auto race in history. And get ready, the maximum speed documented at this race, a whopping 15 miles per hour.
Oh, no.
I can get my bike to go faster than 15 miles per hour. No wonder it took from 1895 to 1920 for cars to catch on.
That's right.
The people were running next to the car going, come on, keep going, rooting them on. You know?
Yeah, and they're the ones who invented that expression, slow and steady wins the race. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, right, exactly. Holy mackerel.
So here are some quirky things that happened over the course of time with car manufacturers. Wing mirrors on Mercedes-Benz W126, 201, and 124. The models, the wing mirrors on these models are larger on the passenger side than the driver's side.
Oh, leave it up to Mercedes to do that. Don't start me off with Mercedes.
Okay, the wheelbase reminds me of that episode of Abbott and Costello, Susquehanna Hat Company.
Mercedes, the Daimler Benz.
The wheelbase of certain Renault models from the 60s and 70s is longer on one side than the other.
Yeah, the French have always been known for their great cars.
That's right. They're great for
They should stick to baguettes. You know what?
Listen, their seats are just as soft as baguettes. That's a great marketing tool.
Speaking of conundrums, baguettes.
Baguettes, yes.
Baguette.
Baguette and Saget. DAF from the Netherlands and bought out by Volvo in the 1970s built cars with a variomatic, a continuously variable and valuable transmission, which enabled these cars to go as fast in reverse as they could going forward.
Now, how funny is that? Now, CVT, continuously variable transmissions, right, is all you find on cars. Because you get better gas mileage. It's really a fake transmission.
Right.
It just lets the car go in the power band, so to speak. We're getting in the weeds here now.
Yeah.
But, you know, but CVTs are the – see how things just come around, folks?
Yep. That's right. Exactly.
Nuts. Yeah. All right, I got one for you.
Yep.
How many parts do you think are in an average car build?
Parts?
Yeah, how many parts do you think it takes to build an average car?
64,000.
Ooh, that's a lot, Nick. That's more than two cars. 30,000.
Oh. Yeah.
Nick built himself a bus.
Well, you didn't say what's – maybe it was one of those Mercedes that, or the Renault that was one side was longer than
Let's
the other.
Let's not start me off on Mercedes.
Wow. Okay, so 30,000 parts for each build.
Can you imagine that? That's a lot of parts, 30,000 parts. That's every little washer and nut and, you know, out of pin. And
I wonder, you know, one of those, what is that, that Swedish furniture company that, you know, they give you parts and everything. So out of the 30,000, you mean that every time that they build the car, they never run out of parts or they never have parts that are extra, like left over?
Oh, that would be scary,
yeah,
right?
Right?
I wonder where this brake pad goes.
That's right. You know what? Stick it where the sun don't shine.
Hey, this car has no steering wheel.
You know what? That's right. The steering wheel's in the back. No, so I thought for a while, because, you know, it takes me a little, I'm a little delayed, right? So I thought the Kia was the ones where you actually build your own car, but that's not what that is.
No.
That's
That's IKEA.
Right. Okay. So we're in cars. Here's a story. Bruce Melvin and his girlfriend of 5 years, Ingrid Holmes, they're enjoying their celebrity in the town of Jacksonville, Florida. Now, how far away is Jacksonville from where you are?
Jacksonville is approximately 4.5, almost 5 hours, believe it or not.
Well,
we are literally way down in Florida.
Okay. Well, these people, this couple got married inside a car wash.
Okay. Yeah.
The joy
it makes for a cramped guest list, but it does. And you hand out umbrellas to everybody.
No. Hang on, I'll tell you what that is in a moment. Good guess though. The joyous couple was seen seated in the front seat of the car, and then eventually moved to the back seat. But anyway, so while a marriage officiant was perched behind them. Mm-hmm. And then the officiant said, "We are gathered here today to join this man and this woman, holy matrimony, etc." Melvin is 64.
Yeah.
And she,
that explains
and
it.
She's 61.
He
wore a blue athletic shirt and an Atlanta Braves hat. So he dressed up for the occasion.
Did she wear a bikini?
No, she wore a blue floral print with her hair pulled back. Yeah.
Oh, it was us second time.
That's right. Well, the bride chose the car wash as the venue because she goes there almost every day.
For their honeymoon, they went to a swanky detail joint.
They had their stuff.
Well, you know, they needed a good waxing, you know?
They did. They went to get their stereos installed. I love this guy, she says. The video concludes as the freewheeling twosome exchange wedding bands, signifying a new beginning or a clean slate. All of the wedding guests, by the way, to your point, received a pine-scented car freshener as wedding favor.
Oh, how nice is that? You think they went for the top one, like the $20 one where you get the hot wax?
No, they didn't. They cheaped out.
Antilock brakes.
Ah. Yes.
Antilock brakes were invented in 1920.
Oh.
How crazy is this? Give me a break with this one. In 1920, they invented antilock brakes, one of the safety features that save more lives than anything because they avoid accidents.
Oh, hold on.
Right?
Wait, time. Hold on. Did you just say give me a break?
Yes.
Okay. Was that intentional?
Yeah, no. That's a pun.
Oh, it
give
is. Okay.
Give me a break.
Okay.
I'm glad you got it, too.
Yeah, okay.
No, but 1920, it's not until 1990 that they start going into cars. Now, maybe because the guy invented it in 1920, probably couldn't get his car going anymore, so he was stuck, and it took him like 60, 70 years to get where he needed to go.
That's right. give me a break. You're listening to Nick and Roy's New Year's Useless Information Spectacle.
Animals, crazy animals.
That's another one of those early on jingles that you wrote. Again, we
can't get enough of that little pussy, you know, no. I tell you.
Well, speaking of which, by a whisker, like humans and fingerprints, each lion has a whisker pattern unique to their nose. Back in the late 1960s, researchers conducted a whisker hole identification method. You heard me. That involved overlapping photographs of lions' noses with a standard grid. And so they determined that each lion has a whisker pattern unique to their nose because of their whisker hole identification method. That's where it goes.
Said the one-armed scientist.
No. You have that wrong. It was one-legged scientist. His name was Neil.
Shrikes.
Huh?
Shrikes.
Yes.
Also known as butcher birds. They're called shrikes.
Okay.
They impale their prey with sticks. Hmm. This is a rather nifty bird, if you know what I mean. They fly down, they harpoon their prey.
Yeah.
And they stick them on the sticks. I think they use their beaks, by the way, but
okay.
They put their prey like lizards. Crickets, even small birds, they stick them, they impale them onto sticks, bring them back to their nest area, and they leave them there so that when they get hungry, maybe later for a late night snack, they pull out a stick and they got themselves a little shish kebab.
A little bird kebab. Wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
That's really interesting. Cool. Now, yeah. Have you ever seen a platypus?
Well, I dated one in high school.
and you know what? Now I think I do remember her. And I know why the relationship didn't last long. So
yeah.
they're strange animals. Platypuses are on the heels of their back feet. They have spurs that can release venom, making these wild animals one of the few types of poisonous mammals. Now the venom isn't strong enough to kill a human, but it's extremely painful and can cause swelling and even hyperventilation. So be careful how you handle your platypus.
I had to visit the doctor after the platypus I dated. But that's a story for the new year.
Oh, it is. Oh, man. Yeah, let's just keep pushing that. Yeah, just kind of divert it to the new year. Just push it to the new year.
Very quickly, vultures. Vultures are disgusting animals, Nick.
They are?
They are disgusting, yes. Yeah. I one time I lost my keys. I thought I threw them in the garbage. So I went to the dump.
Yeah.
They found the truck that picked up my garbage. I had to go through a mound of garbage the size like two stories high.
Okay.
Believe it or not, after about 2 hours, I found my garbage.
Oh, good.
My keys were not in them.
Oh.
That's really upsetting. But the guy on the bulldozer said to me, if you hear these ghastly screams, you'll never forget them, he said. It's the scream of the vulture. And I swear to you, till this day, if a person out there email us if you've ever heard a vulture scream, you will never forget it. It's the most heart-wrenching scream you've ever heard. But that's not what my story is about. That was just I digress.
On. And why? And, go on.
They're disgusting. But on really hot days, they get even more disgusting. Because their feet are on the pavement most of the time, they urinate and defecate down their legs and onto their feet, I guess you'd call them, or talons.
Sure.
And they defecate and urinate on themselves to cool down their feet and legs. Okay? Now, so does Nick do this sometimes at the beach.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, urinate. What a way to kick off the new year. Are we ending the old year and kicking off a new year? I don't know what we're doing at this point. As you're listening to the Nick and Roy.
Thank God it's totally useless information and not a comedy show.
Yes. It is a comedy show. It's funny.
Yeah. Do you have another animal?
I have one more.
So do I. Go ahead.
Okay. There's no moonwalking for kangaroos is what I call this one.
Ooh, okay.
Because kangaroos cannot walk backwards, partly because of the structure of their powerful rear feet and their large tails. This is the reason why you'll find a kangaroo in the Australian coat of arms. The designers wanted to symbolize the way the nation was only moving forward, so they picked an animal that physically can't move backward. And by the way, the coat of arms also has an emu on it, because they also can't walk backwards either.
That's funny. Kim Kardashian can't either. <That's right. laughs> She's got a pretty large tail, you know.
Yeah, down under.
The Alaskan wood frog.
Yes.
Okay. Folks, where are you going to get this type of information? I just
Nowhere.
Want you to know.
Yes.
The Alaskan wood frog freezes at the beginning of winter, and then for 7 months, it seems dead. Two-thirds of their body water freezes. Their heart stops beating, and their blood flow stops and freezes. When summer comes, they thaw out and snap back to life, or jump back to life, which is a little frog joke.
Yes, it is.
It's not easy being green.
No, it's not. Okay, one more animal before we get to the mailbag. And, of course, we'll tell you how to reach us on the mailbag. The aquatic mammals. Wow.
Okay, he's been drinking already. He's early to the game.
Here's the New Year's resolution. I'm not going to cut out those bloopers. I'm going to include them as no extra charge.
Nick's New Year's wish is to learn English.
A sleepy whale, we call this one. The aquatic mammals cannot actually breathe underwater. They have to periodically return to the surface to breathe. So that raises the question, how do they sleep? Or do they sleep? Well, whales do, but only half of their brains sleep at a time. Boy, I know someone just like that. They have a unihemispheric slow-wave sleep. This method allows the whales to get enough rest while staying alert enough to consciously breathe and be on the lookout for any dangers. Unihemispheric slow-wave sleep.
That was rather complicated, Nick.
It was. But did you fall asleep while I was telling you?
What?
Hey, go to our website, nickandroy.com. Not only will you go there and click on the Nick and Roy story, we've told you about the birthday messages, anniversary messages. Check that out, too. And you can go there to leave us an email.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail?
Susan is in the mailbag.
Mm-hmm. Is she lazy?
And boy, was I surprised when I started digging around in there.
So was she.
She's
not so lazy after all.
She was like, where am I, the Jiffy Lube?
Wow. What a conundrum.
Susan is from Thomasville, Georgia. Huh. I think we've had one or two from Thomasville, Georgia. That's very strange.
It is.
I've been there. It's a small town. It's right outside of Florida, right outside of Tallahassee, because my son went to school there.
Okay.
Okay, so she says, you and Nick, meaning me and you, are so great together. Oh. You guys are so funny, you crack me up.
Oh.
I know you're married. Do you have any single brothers?
Jesus.
Nope.
Nope.
They broke the mold.
Yeah.
And not only that, it got moldy too.
It did. Wow.
No, Nick has sisters, and my brother has gone to a different place.
He has. Yep. Yeah. So you know, what was she? Is she asking for a friend?
No. She actually said it for herself, which is really
Wow. Okay.
So Susan from Thomasville, I won't be traveling through Thomasville anymore.
That's right. Or you will, but really, really quickly.
No, I can't do that, Nick.
No.
I have changed the GPS coordinates.
Yes. You know what? You should reset your compass so it goes right by it.
Yeah.
Michelle Johnson from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada's capital. Dear Nick and Roy, we love listening to your show. But more importantly, I got a really nice birthday message from my friend that included a subscription to your newsletter. That's right. We forgot to tell people that.
Yes. That's a big deal now, guys.
When you order a birthday message, not only do you receive a subscription to the newsletter, the Totally Useless Information VIP newsletter, but the birthday recipient as well gets a subscription as well. So everyone gets a newsletter. Okay. So there's that. Here's my question.
You're like what, Oprah? You get a newsletter, you get a newsletter.
That's right. It is. It's wonderful. And we have some great feedback as well, some great information. Here's my question. I'm a huge fan of inventions. I was baking one day while listening to your show and was wondering, who invented the electric food mixer? Yes, people often think of us when they're thinking of other inventions. Thanks, and yeah. I'm looking forward to
often think of us when they're all mixed up.
That's right. Exactly. So I was listening to your show, Who Invented? So thanks, I'm looking forward to next month's newsletter. Okay, so what's her name again? Michelle Johnson from Ottawa. The person who invented the electric food mixer was Lillian Moeller Gilbreth. She holds the patent on this invention. She was a mother of 12.
Whoa. She needed a mixer. She needed a TV in her bedroom.
She needed a... No, she needed a conundrum. See, there you go. It comes
I'll
right
buy
back.
Buy her a case of conundrum.
From Costco. And she's also credited for creating those trash cans with the foot lever to open the lid.
Oh.
And she was also a pioneer in the field of ergonomics. But that's when you can sit properly in your chair, I think.
Actually, for her, it was lay down properly in bed.
Now, fortunately, the lever wasn't slow when it was lifted. Wow. On the show today, we talked about...
Hey, listen, Nick. People need to know that our newsletter is a little more personal than the show. We talk about personal things in our lives, and we also do some of the stuff we do here on the show in our newsletter. But I think the coolest part of our newsletter is when we have guests.
Yes.
And we also talk about personal stuff.
Exactly.
You can get a little insight into Nick and I.
Well, on the show today, we talked about our New Year's experiences and memories. Those memories that we do remember. Does that make any sense? The ones that they told us this is how it all went.
I spoke about my New Year's memory.
That's right. When you were 14. Animals, we talked about science and cars. It's time for the news.
And now, from around the corner and around the world, This is TUI News.
A jury has convicted two men of felony theft for stealing several items from a Kohl's store. Now, this wouldn't be a headline if not for their legal defense. Michael Green and Byron Bolden were sentenced after a three-day trial where Green will serve 15 months in prison and Bolden was sentenced to 90 days in jail with credit for time served as a condition of 18 months of probation. What did they do? They were dubbed as the KitchenAid Mixer Crew. Whoa, what a coincidence. We talk about the food mixers. Okay. So the KitchenAid Mixer Crew, because the pricey kitchen appliances was included in the theft, along with brand name shoes and clothing. The prosecutors told them that the items stolen totaled $2,094. But that's important because the cutoff line between a misdemeanor and a felony theft in Colorado, which is where this happened, is $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So check out the legal argument by the defense. These two individuals basically stole the merchandise that was on sale. And if you look at the sale price, it was below $2,000, which is the threshold for class 6 felony conviction.
Plus, they should have checked their email to see if they had any Kohl cash points.
That's right. They did. They did.
Could have got them under the limit.
At the end, could you imagine this saying, "No, we had a coupon for
the
items."
Hey, yeah. It didn't work, did it?
At the end of the day, the prosecutors argued that it really didn't matter if the items were on sale or discounted. Those discounts and sales prices should apply to paying customers only, not thieves. The DA's office said the value matters in court is the retail price. Not a sale or a coupon. The jury agreed with the prosecutor's argument and convicted both men of a class 6 felony.
Wow. Yep. Class 6 felony, but really, really quality shoppers, I have to say.
That's right. Conscientious, you know. Coupon clippers.
You know, I dated Sally Meaner. Yes. That's Mr. Meaner's daughter.
That's right. Was she the one?
Now, let me just get this straight.
Yeah.
So these guys went into Kohl's,
right?
Stole shoes, things like that.
Yeah.
And then they said to themselves, let's go steal, because we have a KitchenAid mixer I'm staring at. Okay. My wife uses it. She loves to bake.
Okay.
That thing weighs about 50 pounds.
Yes.
Okay? In a very, very large box. Why didn't they just go steal an 80-inch television as well? Why would you steal a big heavy mixer in a box when you could steal nice small stuff? Not that I do that at Kohl's. Now I'll be watched at Kohl's every time I go in.
But I have a coupon.
Okay, can you imagine though that $2,000 is the limit?
Yeah.
$2,000.
Yeah.
You could steal up to $2,000. Why bother paying for your stuff? You know, it totally devoids the under 10 items lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should just say, just walk out.
See, if you were smart, if you had like 20 items in your
cart. What are you trying to say? I'm not smart?
I'm not trying to say that at all. It's exactly what I'm saying. What I would do is I would take the 20 items and go to the maximum 10 item lane and put them on two separate things. So put one of those dividers in between. And just say, look, I'm shopping for two different families. See how that works out.
Ah, and then you would pay for both of them or steal both of them?
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thank you very much for joining us on Nick and Roy's totally useless New Year's spectacle. We really thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you very much for your loyalty, your support, coast to coast to coast in Canada, all over the world, over 72 countries. We really can't thank you enough. And we wouldn't be doing this today if it weren't for you listening and giving us support and giving us feedback and ordering our birthday messages and anything like that. So thank you very much. And from my family to your family, Happy New Year.
And we truly, truly do love doing this for you guys. And we couldn't mean that more. We enjoy doing this show. And we enjoy that you guys give us the chance to come into your lives every week, which is big, you know, and we take it seriously. And also, as starting this year, we'll start to list each state's amount of stolen items that become a felony.
Right.
So you can stay under that this year.
Yes.
It's just a little thing that we like to do.
Yes, misdemeanor. And we'll tell you when misdemeanor hooks up with
Mrs. Meaner.
No.
They're always meaner. Wives are always meaner.
No, and miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. And her girlfriend, Anne Azette.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Jack. Jack Daniels. No, I'm Roy.
Thanks for listening and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy is a production of nickandroy.com. Visit nickandroy.com to access the full library of episodes or wherever you get your podcasts.